so well. But do you know these verses well? Verse 17 of Luke chapter 2. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. And Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Thinking about that word, amazed. That the people who heard what the shepherds said about Jesus, their response was one of amazement. And that word amaze appears all through the Gospels, especially as Jesus grows bigger. When he comes to the age of 12 and he's sitting there in the temple in Jerusalem with all the experts in the scriptures, and they were amazed at his understanding and his wisdom. And when Jesus began to teach, people said, "Where did he get this wisdom from?" People were amazed at the answers that he gave. And then the things that he did when he said to the paralyzed man, "Take up your mat and go." And the people were amazed at what Jesus did. This word amazement speaks about overachieving our expectations. When you think about Jesus, what do you expect? When you think about the word Christ, do you want to hear more? Do you lean forward? Do you say, "Turn up the volume, I want to hear more"? Or do you want to say, "Turn it down, I don't want to hear anymore"? Expectations are really important. At Christmas time, some expectations are really unhelpful. We might have expectations of the perfect Christmas day, and then we find that we've almost got a movie in our head for how Christmas Day is going to go. We've got the actors, we know what they're going to say, and then some of the actors don't turn up, and then they say things we didn't expect them to say, and the day starts to go, "Oh, I didn't expect this." But God willing, maybe you'll get a present tomorrow that you will be delighted with. But we all know what it's like to get that pair of socks. Expectations. Some are really unhelpful. But when we come to thinking about Jesus and thinking about God, it's really important to have high expectations, because God never disappoints. Hope never disappoints, because God is able to pour his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And isn't that what's underlying all our expectations, is a desire for relationship, a desire for presence. And God, who gives us hope, is able to pour his presence and his love into our empty, aching hearts and able to fill us and give us everything we ever longed for, but we're looking for in all the wrong places. When we think about the Christmas story, so much happens that is not expected. Zechariah and Elizabeth did not expect to be pregnant in old age. Mary did not expect to give birth to the Son of God. Joseph did not expect that his fiancée would be pregnant. The shepherds did not expect a personal visitation from the angels. The Magi did not expect, having gone right across the Fertile Crescent and arriving in Bethlehem, to find that the King of the Jews, prophesied in all Scripture, would be in a humble feeding trough. The shepherds were afraid at first. And this word amazement can also be translated a sense of shock. And they were shocked at first. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, because I bring to you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Emphasis on the word all, because the shepherds thought that they would be the last people to be included. For me. If you were tuning into our service on Sunday morning, Angus told a story about how his wife Alison received a present on Christmas Day, and she said, For me. Amazement that she would be included. Amazement that we would be included, just like the shepherds. And then they went to say that they said, there will be a sign. Well, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And that is the most important thing about Christmas, as we sang in that carol, that God came to reconcile us to Himself, to reconcile sinners to Himself. And that was only possible because Jesus came to die for our sins on the cross and take the punishment in our place, so that no matter who we are or what we've done or how far away we may think we are from God tonight, that because He died on the cross for us, that we can be brought into relationship through trusting in the Savior, Jesus. And lots of people have thought, it couldn't possibly be for me, because I've messed up too much. But today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah the Lord. Why would these shepherds think this king, this rescuer, this wonderful counselor king, this mighty God king, this everlasting Father king, this Prince of Peace king, why on earth would he be for smelly shepherds? Because he was born in a manger, in a cattle feeding trough. That really connected with them. They knew all about feeding troughs. And the child who was the Son of the Most High had come in that sort of humility. And this sign tells us that God is able to come down for all people and relate to all of us in our ordinariness. And what was their story? What was their story? Their story was so one of God has come for us. For all of us, they would have gone running through the village, knocking on the doors, telling everybody that God has come for all of us. And people were amazed. I just want to ask you tonight, when's the last time you were amazed by God's grace, by God's coming to this earth for each one of us? What has clouded your vision? What has distracted you? What has captivated you so much that you don't have the space or the time to even say a prayer. Lord, is it for me? Lord, would you renew a sense of wonder at what you've done? Maybe for the first time, or maybe we need to rekindle that sense of wonder, love, and praise to what he has done. When's the last time we have laughed with joy? When's the last time we have smiled at the wonderful thing he's done for us? When's the last time we have shed tears because of the fact that he has come to pay for our sins? I remember, and I'll never forget it, the first year that I put my trust in Jesus. I was a student, and I lived in a student flat which was pretty grimy. When my mother came to visit, she opened her suitcase, and on the top of the suitcase was this kind of apron thing. And she thought that was like the priority, and she went to sort of fumigate the flat. And then I was one night cleaning the bath, which was a really, really dirty bath. And as I was cleaning it, I was getting all that grime off, and it was going from filthy to white. I'm sorry if I'm offending you tonight, but this, we preach the truth at CCC. And as it went from grime to gleaming white, I was listening to Handel's Messiah. And if you've heard this wonderful classical piece about Christmas story, it says, he was despised, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as I was taking the grime off the bath, I was thinking about how God had come and was despised and rejected. And he'd done that for me. And I started to cry. But it was tears of joy that God would come and reconcile me for all the things I had done wrong, and give me a completely fresh start, and forgive me, and never mention it again. And I had a sense of amazement that night. A sense of amazement about God's grace. Because I encountered God that night in the bathroom. It was a different bathroom about a year earlier when I was in a bit of a spiritual turmoil about whether to follow Jesus or not. And I knelt down on the bathroom floor and I said, I'm not good enough to be a Christian. And I'm too much of a chicken to be a public follower of Jesus. If you can sort out these two questions, Lord, I will follow you. And it was in that year following that I learned about God's grace, that God loved me even though I didn't deserve it, that he loved me so much that he would send his son to die for me, that I could come into relationship with him. And it wasn't about me being good enough. It was about me receiving a Savior through putting my trust in what he has done for me. And then when God's presence entered into my heart, I was given a joy and a confidence to tell people just like the shepherds. The fact that I'm standing here tonight and standing here most nights or every week talking about God's amazing grace means that God's got a sense of humor. That the lad who thought he couldn't even tell one person is now telling everybody who wants to listen, including online. And that's something about how God's amazing grace can change us from being afraid to being bold, just like the shepherds. Not that we would intensely try to do it. It's just an overflow of knowing that you've been loved. So have you been amazed? Have you been amazed? Have you realized that you are included in that grace for all? Because once you experience it, you will be like the shepherds. You will be praising God and telling people about the things that He has done for them. But the last thing I want to leave you with tonight is this truth that God has not forgotten you. As I've been praying about this service this week, I think that's the most important thing I want to say. In Isaiah 40, it says, do you think that you have been disregarded by God? Do you think that He has forgotten all about you? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the one who sends His Son to give you salvation and comfort, the one who sends His Son for all people. Therefore, if you put your hope in the Lord, you will renew your strength. And you will mount up on wings like eagles, and you will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not be faint. We may feel like we're part of the forgotten people, but God, on Christmas Eve, wants to remind us when He came to the shepherds, He came to tell the forgotten people, I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten you. I have come for you. The grace is for you. And will you receive it? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what you have done. And we ask for your forgiveness when we have a low expectation, when we would even sometimes get bored with the story. But no, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to burn love into our hearts once again, that coming into Christmas Day, the most exciting, the most amazing thing that we will be thinking about tomorrow is the grace, the undeserved love that you have poured out on all people, including us. And we pray that this will be so in our experience, that it will be so according to what you have spoken through your word. We receive the truth into our hearts. We receive your forgiveness as we trust afresh in what you have done, as we trust afresh in your saving life, death, and resurrection. How can we not be amazed? Open our lips that our mouths will declare your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.